It's Thursday, May 22nd, 2014, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 63, Useless Hamster Dreams. Runtime for this episode is 52 minutes.
Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, right back at you. I'm Jeremy.
I don't even have a comeback for that. I'm Tyler.
And I'm Zach.
The podcast that sits in chairs properly.
And talks into microphones with boxing gloves on. That was a terrible strong... That's not even my strong bad impression.
I don't think I can do a
strong... Dear Last Time on Video Games, why don't you get any fan mail?
Sincerely.
Of yours, strong bad.
Sincerely, Paradox.
Mainly because Tyler... No one wants to talk to Tyler.
That is true. Because I talk so much on air, they're just already sick of me by the time they get around to writing fan mail. So,
but that doesn't explain why they haven't sent any to us.
Yeah, no, well, it's because you're in proximity to me, and they don't want to accidentally have me talk to them by
proxy.
Well,
in my case, it's because I don't check my email.
Well, yeah, I've noticed
that. I probably have tons and tons of emails.
You haven't even changed your password yet. I logged into your account this week.
Did he have sweet spams?
Yes, he did have all the sweet spam.
I kind of need a link.
Last time on Video Games, the podcast that frequently checks its email.
One day we're going to make Zach edit an episode, and then the podcast will be over.
That'll be our 100th episode. Zach edits week.
No, the 100th episode is supposed to be an accomplishment, not a punishment for the listeners to have to listen to me trying to figure out what Audacity does. What does this button do? I just deleted it.
That's Control-Z works in Audacity, Zach. It's super useful because you will find you delete it all the goddamn time.
Also, I make backups, so...
Yeah, that's true. I keep backups.
So you guys also edit it without actually telling me that you're doing it so that when it comes out, it's all absolutely horrible. You can just subtly replace it with one that actually sounds like someone who knew what they were doing did it.
Did I seriously just say news?
Yep.
All right.
I'm going to call that past progressive newsing. Anyway, this isn't the linguistics podcast.
Do you have any newsing for us, Tyler?
Not really.
I feel like there was exciting video game news I wanted to bring up today, and now I can't remember.
The fact that they're remaking Sapphire and Ruby?
That's not really exciting so much as it's inevitable.
It's my least favorite generation, so.
It is the only generation which I have a real accomplishment that I can stand on and say, yep, I'm awesome.
What's that? You caught Rakuza?
With a luxury ball.
That is actually fairly impressive. Well, at least he's comfy. God in a ball. God in a ball. I would eat at that restaurant.
You know, it's not an Arceus.
It's like the Epcot Center.
No, I was the Smash for the 3DS is coming out in like a month or two.
And no one cares about that.
That's cool. Everyone cares about that. But that wasn't what I was thinking of. And it wasn't the Mario Kart thing or how the games available in America are either lame or I own them already.
You own Pikmin 3?
No, but it's lame.
Oh, what's Mario Kart 3?
What's
the Mario Kart news?
If you buy Mario Kart 8, you get a free Wii U game.
That thing that they're talking about.
But it's limited. There are 10 that you can pick from, unless you live in the U.S., in which case there are only 4.
What is like? He said Pikmin.
Pikmin 3.
Wind Waker.
Super Mario Bros.
New Wii U.
Yeah.
Whatever. And, like, Wii Party. Yeah. Wii U.
Oh, so it can't even be like that game. Or Zombie U.
That's not actually on the master list either, but there's the Sonic game is on there. There's Wonderful 101.
What master list are
the
you
one,
talking about?
The one that you can pick if you're outside the U.S.
Oh.
It's much bigger and better. And there are like 4 games on it I want.
But you live inside of the United States.
I am trapped.
Well, you got to give up some things for freedom.
Yeah.
In America.
That's a lack of freedom. So you have to give up you have to give up your freedom for freedom.
America.
Oh, man, you guys don't read it, but this week has been the invasion of the Soviet bear meme, which has been fought back by overly manly Uncle Sam and Stephen Colbert wielding, like, Gladiator America armor, which is pretty ridiculous.
I'm excited for League's Russian to show up.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Their next champion is a big Russian dude.
Ah.
He has a shield.
He's got an awesome mustache.
I was going to say he's not Zangief.
No.
That's sad.
He's as bare-chested as Zangief, though.
Excellent. For Mother Russia.
And comes from the frozen north.
He's the kind of port champion that I wanted.
He wrestles bears?
Probably. But
he saves poros.
Well, I don't.
Poros are like their little mascot animal.
What?
They're adorable and you feed them snacks.
Okay.
We'll show you Trials of the Poro when we're done here.
No, we won't.
Trials of the Poro.
That's what it's called. But no, he jumps in front of stuff.
He has a big shield and he goes, "Get down!"
I've got a shield!
So is the heavy from TF2.
Yes.
Get behind me, doctor!
Yes.
That's probably not the exciting news, though.
No, I don't even remember. I'm going to give up on it. Zach, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of League because I'm always playing League.
Are you playing League right now?
No.
Actually, yes.
I actually have a robot.
You created a League playing robot?
I was just saying that you're playing League in your mind.
Yeah, a little bit.
Flash the minions, hook.
Trying to figure out what I do wrong, what I do better. I've also been playing a lot of Shinten lately.
Excellent choice. My 3DS informed me that you were playing Shinten recently.
Really? So, yep. Yeah, because it does do that, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, I don't like that about modern video games in the world. I just want to play my damn video games.
You don't want to tell your friends you're playing a video game?
I want to do it when I'm hanging out with them and we can talk about the sweet video games. Or like on the podcasts I have to talk to my friends about the video games I've been playing.
Weren't you planning on streaming something at one point or another?
Well, yeah, but that's different. Streaming something is a public event.
That is true. I guess you could make it a private event, but where's the point in that?
And the last game I was playing this week because... Oh, no, it wasn't even the last game. I played a little bit of StarCraft 2 with our buddy Jason. It's been a long time since I played the game. I love that game. I just haven't played it a lot lately because...
Because League is all-consuming.
Well, League is a really good game, and there's a lot less going on. Like, I got into that game and was like, oh, crap, first game when we played, I was... Like, I look up at my minerals, I'm like, I've got 5,000 minerals. How am I not... I have 3 barracks. No wonder I'm not burning through any of this. And I'm still supply blocked!
I feel physical stress when I play StarCraft 2. That's like how much is going on in that game.
Yeah, that's part of the reason I don't like playing RTSs.
And League of Legends scratches the exact same competitive itch for me, which is why I mostly play that.
Without all the excess stress?
Yeah, I mean, it's different social stress because that's a team game, but that does not physically, my shoulders don't tense up. I just say, meh, I guess I won't play right now.
Yeah, that was a little bit stressful because I'm like, I'm trying to keep track of all my guys and keep ahead of my supply block, which has always been a problem, and keeping ahead of my mineral income, which was out. My mineral income's almost always pretty good, but,
but you can't,
I can't spend it! And then last game I was playing, because I just found out EA does...
The last game on the last time?
Yeah, on the house type of things was Dead Space.
Oh, sweet.
The first one, because it was free. I'm like,
I've got
no reason
not to. I've
Dead
Space 2 and Dead Space 3, but not Dead Space.
The first one is the best one of the three.
So I've heard. Because it was still a horror game back then.
No, it wasn't.
No.
It likes to think it's a horror game. The problem is when you load the player down with ammo and high-powered cutting tools and say, you see that guy over there, cut him to pieces? You're not scared, you're aiming.
That's, to be fair, there are different types of horror, right?
That is true.
I mean, there's Walking Dead, oh my god, I have to save Clementine. And then there's, like, Resident Evil 4. Ha ha, it's Midget Napoleon. Time to go get me some of that. Hi-ya! They're both horror. But one is scary, and one is Midget Napoleon.
Well, this one is trying to be...
Midget Napoleon isn't scary?
This game likes to think it's scary. It's not.
To be fair, that's a lot on the viewer, right? Even scary movies, if you go in looking for the zippers, you'll find them. To be fair, you can
that
do more with game mechanics to make something scary.
Like Amnesia, where you have no ability to fight back, only run and hide.
Like I said, in this one, they give you the ability to fight back. There's one thing in the game that can kill you outright, and it's mostly because of the way they set up the controls. It's a pain in the ass to get rid of.
Yeah, but dying in video games isn't scary. It's frustrating.
No, that's why it's not scary, and also the fact that they give you so many high-powered cutting tools. You're like, hey... There are like 10 guys over there. I got a plasma cutter and enough ammo to just sit here and pick limbs off with regularity that makes everybody laugh at the fact that I just cut down a whole thing. And how did this ship get taken over by these? I mean, they shamble very, very slowly. There's plasma cutters and this line gun that shoots.
We ask the same thing about every zombie apocalypse.
How the heck did this happen? But apparently people are bad shots aboard this thing. Whereas me as an engineer who has no formal training is able to, you know, clean house.
No, that's canon.
To be fair, zombie apocalypse is where everyone who dies comes back to life.
That makes more sense, but I feel like it would still be hard to make that an apocalypse. We would pretty quickly just change our funeral techniques.
The burninating all the dead peasants?
No, well, after we discover a dead body, we stab it in the head just to make sure. And then we perform an autopsy.
Two in the head, make sure they're dead. But that's like the main mechanic of this game, is dismemberment. And it does make it an interesting...
Can you use the dismembered limbs as weapons?
Yes, you can.
Oh,
you actually
sweet.
Have a kinesis.
That's actually kind of awesome.
You can pick up a kinesis module, or you don't can.
The gravity
you
gun from Half-Life.
Have to. Yeah, you basically pick up the gravity gun from Half-Life. You also get a stasis thing, which is a time slow mechanic, which they make you use on occasion to get around certain obstacles. But when the big bad enemy that shows up is supposed to be scary and it shows up and you knock off one of its arms and go, I wonder if I can curb stomp this. The game has missed the point. I like the game. It's still a good game. It's just not a horror game. It's an action game that thinks it's a horror game.
It's an action game with horror setting.
Pretty much. I mean,
it's like Resident Evil.
It has one of the nice things about it is that it has the HUD is completely interactive in game. Your health bar is actually along your guy's back. You played did you play 2 and 3 at
no.
all? Well, your health bar is visible on your guy.
Oh, that's
like,
neat.
Your actual HUD is not a HUD.
It's just like on the back of the character. And
well, it's just your guy is your screen. It's a third person thing. When you get into the menu, it's still alive. And it's just like a hollow thing next to your guy, and he's looking at it and whatnot. When you have a marker, you know, because all games now pretty much have a objective marker where it says you have to go here. It's not always visible. You actually have a button, and you will, you know, look down, and it'll put a trail on the ground where you're supposed to be going.
That's actually pretty neat.
And it's still live. I mean, that's one of the interesting things they did. The whole thing is always completely
live. So you can't just pause the game?
Yeah, you don't. Well, you can pause the game. There is a pause.
Okay.
But getting into, like, your inventory and your...
is all real time?
Mm-hmm. Doing any of that stuff is all real time. But
does it have inventory Tetris?
Oh, like Resident Evil 4?
Yes.
Beyond!
It's got inventory management, but since everything is the same size...
Of course!
Of course your...
sniper rifles and buzzsaws are identical.
I don't think your weapons count as part of your inventory.
Just like Doom.
Those aren't for sale.
Well, originally, they were supposed to be... Like, all your weapons were one thing that modified and changed. That
okay.
got left behind...
But they never changed the mechanic for storing them.
I don't know if they did or not, but it's the four branching things. You had them four guns equipped at any one time. They all use different ammo, so you never get any line gun ammo because that gun is ridiculously powerful. And I always used it for big guys that dropped out these scuttly dudes that were a pain in the ass to deal with. Well, if they got on top of you, your character started spazzing out, and that was like the main way I would die. Is because if enough of these get on you, it takes so long to get rid of them on an individual basis, they'll just kill you because a swarm of them drops on you.
Kind of a tangent, but you mentioned the different types of ammo. I noticed this in Counter-Strike recently, that some guns use the same caliber ammunition, and you don't get to carry more of it. So if your like main weapon and your sidearm both use like 32, somehow you can carry 500 rounds so long as there are two different sets of 250. But you can only carry, like, 250 total of one type, even if you had two different guns that use it.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know they did that.
Yeah, it's kind of stupid, honestly. I wish they would give you more total, but they don't.
I could never decide in Fallout whether or not I wanted to carry, when I was playing Fallout games, whether or not to carry multiple guns that fired the same type of ammo, because then I wouldn't have to worry about finding more ammo. On the converse side, if I ran out of that ammo, all of my guns would be dry.
That's what is it? That game that does stuff. I can't even remember.
That game, yeah.
Yes, definitely. Okay, well, I can't remember it specifically. I was going to say that it was what is it called? The thing, Borderlands. I thought Borderlands did that, but I don't think you actually have ammo in Borderlands, even though you had to reload.
I'm pretty sure you don't.
I don't know, there was some game I was thinking of recently where you had to use the same type of ammunition between various guns. And it was not a choice of which gun is more appropriate for the situation, but when choosing a new gun, which gun do I not have, or which ammo type am I not using in one of my slots yet? And it's actually switching between different ammo types.
That sounds kind of like Fallout. That's how I would always decide whether or not to use a new gun. It's like, I'm carrying 400 different rounds of 7.62.
I really need
this
a gun that
uses
this.
7.62. I'm taking this. I have three guns that are using 9mm. I don't need that one. It's broken anyway.
Yeah, you basically just toss everything that... And I find that games that have that mechanic force me into that mode of thought, even if, like, I have two guns that are both good and I could reasonably use them in different situations. I will only choose one because I use the same type of ammo.
That's kind of the point of Fallout, right?
I have no idea. I've never played Fallout, so...
Well,
have
I mean,
never?
It's a nope. post-apocalyptic scavenging game.
Okay, fair enough.
Fallout 3 is basically Oblivion reskinned.
Sweet. Although it
has way more guns, and Fallout New Vegas is like that with okay quests and reasonable NPCs and a really cool setting, and you fight Chandler Bing.
They're all actually, both of those games are pretty good.
And Kaiser,
does he announce himself that way?
No, but everyone calls him Kaiser. he has a Roman legion knockoff in the Old West in the post-apocalypse.
Sweet.
I demolished his town. Yeah, like, I went in there, loaded the bear, and just killed everyone.
He's one of like the two major factions, and I can't remember the other one because it's not Kaiser.
Well, you have the Rangers and the Roman legion.
It's Kaiser's Legion.
And then there's the New Vegas, like, robots. I don't think
the New Vegas robots.
I don't know if the Rangers
pretty well
are
season.
Actually the other... Actually, I think they are. I think the California Rangers... No, the California Republic.
Oh, yeah,
that's what it.
It
is. The Rangers are kind of like a third tertiary, but subsidiary faction where they exist, but they're not exactly
gotcha.
That powerful. If I make... I could be making
that up. California Republic,
up.
You're right.
Well, I mean, I may be making up the bit about the Rangers. I don't remember.
I just remember after I actually got to Vegas, I got bored. Also, you have the Yes Bot that if you don't want to work for one of the factions, you just program the Yes Bot and he gives you all your quests. Like, tell you, yeah, sir, that's a great idea. You should totally do that.
That's excellent. Skyrim kind of shoehorns you into factions.
Yeah, terrible factions that do the same quests, none of which make any sense.
Well, they're always like, raid the other factions, yeah. So...
Well, no, there's like the one that's, go raid this crypt and find this old crown and bring it back to me, because...
Yeah, because people won't follow me unless I have the old crown. I kind of wish that you could just choose your own faction of, neither of these people are fit to rule, I'm Dragonborn, let's make me king.
I kind of stopped playing that after I... was like, I'm going to take this quest here at the Mage's Guild. I already have the book, so this should take no time at all.
I stopped playing that game after I got out of the cave at first and like, man, this is the most boring game in the world.
Really? I didn't find it that boring immediately. I feel like...
I cannot get invested in Obsidian games, except Fallout New Vegas. And by Obsidian, I mean Bethesda.
You mean Oblivion? That's like Obsidian.
No, well, I can't get into Oblivion, I can't get into Skyrim, I can't get into Fallout 3, not New Vegas.
So Bethesda games in general, like you said.
And Fallout 3 New Vegas starts with Chandler Bing shooting you for reasons you don't know, and a robot cowboy finding you and bringing you to a doctor to nurse you back to health.
That does sound kind of awesome.
Well, at the very
Chandler least... Chandler Bing in a white suit in the middle of the desert.
We're proving one thing.
Oh?
We have at least a 66% approval rating for Bethesda games.
That, yes, that is true.
I played all of them so far, from Oblivion to Fallout 3 New Vegas that we've been talking about. They're all really, really good. They're just a little different. They're mostly exploration, and I wonder what's over that other hill over there. And I walked into a Deathclaw.
Exploration.
Not going that way again.
Terrible, terrible role-playing.
Yep, there is that.
I don't role-play in Bethesda games because there's no point.
No, I treat them like action games.
I role-play in every video game, and like those ones are actively trying to fight me out of it.
Well, yeah, because you're like, I had Throg, the fighter who could cast Cure Minor Wounds.
Well, that's fine.
Once.
I don't mind breaking archetypes.
And then I was in charge of the Mage's Guild.
So
yeah.
You might
I
actually...
was the Archmage. I could cast Heal Minor Wounds.
You might actually like the earlier Elder Scrolls games better, because they don't really have a plot, really.
Yeah, maybe. But I haven't been playing those.
Huh. I'm a little disappointed, though, now that I think about it. Neither Fallout 3 nor New Vegas begin with you as a prisoner under arrest for something.
Truly glaring flaws in the plot. What have you been playing, Jeremy, that aren't glaring flaws in our plot?
A little League of Legends, but not much, and that's almost a flaw. I'm missing All-Stars right now so I can record this.
Duh!
I've missed all day of All-Stars. I'm not even getting a chance to watch it until tomorrow, and that's going to be today's stuff.
Yeah, well, it's starting at 6 a.m. here.
Oh,
which
wow.
is atrocious.
That is, yeah.
It wouldn't be so bad if I could link my iPod into like the wireless at work and watch it, but my boss is like, no watching videos.
Yeah, as if they want you to be productive at work or something.
Dude,
I could do both if I wanted to.
We have TVs on everywhere.
You work at a TV company.
Okay, yes, but...
So a little bit of League of Legends. I played a little more Castlevania 3.
Sweet, I meant to and then didn't.
I didn't get past the level I was on, but I got further in it. The checkpoints... You need to get through so many checkpoints by the time you get to level 7, though. I was on, like, 7-12 and got a game over, and I was like, "Ah!"
I also did not play anymore, even though I said I would probably try.
Well, you're lazy, and I'm awesome.
Exactly.
I've also been trying to get through cheap Steam games I bought on the cheap and never played because I'm like 20 podcasts behind.
So you were playing FTL recently.
I was, but before that I was playing Dungeon Dashers.
What is even?
It's like a turn-based tactical action game. It's really bad.
Oh, I was going to say that sounded awesome.
You're
but...
a party of a knight, a wizard, an archer, and a thief with blink.
Does your wizard use archaic VHS magics?
No, he shoots fireballs and lightning and frost.
Oh.
It's got really poor progression mechanics, and it's an early access game about finding gold, but it doesn't have a way to spend gold implemented yet. So I have millions of gold that I can't do anything with.
Sweet!
That's the worst.
Yeah, it's just really brainless. It's got really simple puzzles, and I played it for a while, but I don't really like it. So then I decided to play some FTL.
Sweet!
Yeah.
Do you like FTL better?
Yeah, there are lots of things I think are bad design in FTL, but it's fun, so it's hard to.
What, out of curiosity, do you think is bad design in FTL?
All the randomness is just a little too much. Like, the randomness combined with the learning curve makes it hard to tell, am I getting better or did I get lucky on this?
A little bit of both. I'm making show notes for the episode that we posted today, which I guess will be 2 weeks ago when this... Anyway, but apparently Yahtzee actually liked FTL, which is strange.
He likes video games sometimes.
That is true, but...
Although there's not much to explore in FTL. I feel like you find everything pretty early.
Yeah, it's mostly figuring out the right combination. A lot of FTL is luck, getting the amount of scrap you need to get the equipment that you want and actually finding the equipment that you want somewhere.
Yeah, and like when you don't know what equipment you want.
Yeah, well, that's part of the first three or four runs, I feel, are learning what everything does.
And choosing what sector to go into, like, there's rarely ever actually a choice. Like, if there are two nebula, there are, as far as you know, exactly the same. And so the choice is completely arbitrary.
Yeah, no.
If there are two civilian sectors, they're pretty much arbitrary.
They're identical, essentially. They're randomly generated when you go into them.
Yeah. So I'm not crazy about that.
Well, like, different quests happen in different types of sectors, but the, like, two sectors that are named the same thing are exactly the same, or have the equal
odds of
stuff happening.
You rarely actually get a choice between sectors.
Really? I don't find that to be... I usually get the choice between a pirate sector or a rock-controlled sector.
It's almost
but...
always two nebula, or a pirate and mantis, or...
Yeah, they're slightly different.
Yeah, not really.
Slightly. The mantis sector has more mantis ships in it.
Yeah, and like, when I was trying to get the achievement to get one of every race on my ship...
Oh, for the...
Cool. Yeah, I got it today. I like the progression mechanics. I like the ship achievements. That's cool.
They force you to do things that you wouldn't otherwise do.
And they make you feel like you're progressing even though it's super hard to beat. I got to the final form of the boss last night, but...
Yeah, I have never beaten that game on anything other than easy.
Yeah, I'm
it's
on easy.
It's so hard.
It's definitely a game that should probably have been normal, hard, and Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain instead of easy, normal, and hard.
Captain Kirk is climbing a god he vented into space.
Also, like, the way the weapons charge up is basically the active time battle from Final Fantasy.
Yep.
Which I've never liked. Except for you combine that with the, like, being boarded happening separately, and it becomes interesting.
Well, micromanaging your crew, sending them around to fix
except
stuff.
Except for that that happens rarely enough that it's so hard to pay attention when all that's going on. Like, the reason I lost to the final form was the boarding party I didn't realize was there killed but all three of my crew members on the second form while I was fighting their drones and...
One of the things about it is, like, trying to time all your weapons together.
Yeah, and that's interesting, but...
I find it makes me pay enough attention that it's fun to play, but not enough attention that I find it difficult ever.
There are also weird difficulty spikes as you play, like when suddenly everyone has three shields if you don't have really good shield-breaking weapons. Suddenly the game goes from trivial to impossible.
Well, that's part of trying to build your ship, is you have to decide what form of offensive capability you want to take at some point.
Yeah, but that's pretty luck-based, because...
It is. It's largely based on what you happen to find. That's... one of its appeals, it's roguelike. You may or may not find the equipment you need to succeed.
Yeah, but I feel like even on easy, the game is too hard for you just to, like, do your best with your choices. You kind of have to get lucky, and that's a little dissatisfying.
I think
but...
that's part of why it's so hard. I end up with, like, 400 scraps sometimes and all the weapons, and sometimes I end up with nothing by Sector 5.
But it is fun. I started playing on Tuesday, and I have 12 hours.
Okay, well.
That seems like really poor design to me.
It's
not, but it's like I'm going over everything I think is bad about the game, and it's a little hard to say what's good about it.
It's complex enough to be mildly engaging. The ambient music, I think, makes a lot of it.
It is really good, but I've been playing it to listen to podcasts. So finding that weapon that, oh man, this is going to work really well with my ship, that's a lot of fun. The combat itself is pretty fun.
Well, and the individual ship layouts all have very specific, ways in which they excel, and, building your ship around different playstyles is kind of neat.
And like I said, the progression mechanics are really good. I really like when achievements are tied to progression, especially in a game like this where you're...
That's pretty much the only way you progress.
Like Civ, you're starting the game at the same point every time. So even if you lose, if you got an achievement, it still feels like a victory because you've unlocked something new to play with.
That's actually a good point, though. Is roguelike just bad design? Because it's an old concept.
Yeah, and, I think it kind of is, but...
I like
yes
it,
and no.
But...
I mean, I like XCOM, and if you go wrong on XCOM, you're going to screw yourself over.
That's a very similar idea, actually.
And the two-hour FTL game is a really long one.
Yeah, that
so
is.
So, like...
They usually last about an hour for me.
So, usually when you lose, I've never gotten frustrated when I died. It's been like, oh, man.
I was so close. Or yeah. If only I had one more defense drone or something.
Or, holy crap, why doesn't this ship have shields? Oh, my God.
I don't mind having a choice between stuff, but when it's arbitrarily luck to find what you need to do anything,
it's not necessarily to do anything. Like, to find the optimal thing, it's luck. Sometimes you can make do with what it is, or most of the time you can make do with what it is that you find in stores. A lot of it is getting... fighting like five guys with missile launchers in a row and then having to spend all your scrap on repairs and not being able to buy the weapons.
Like
That's
I said
really
at the
how
beginning,
it screws you over.
I think the actual problem is when you're learning, you don't know what's good, and everything being random makes it hard to test
that
what's
is
good.
True.
Also, the fact that your currency and the thing that lets you upgrade your ship are the same thing.
I kind of like that, though.
The more I play, the more I like it, but early on, it's like, man, do I ignore upgrades completely? Nope, I'm dead. Man, do I ignore buying things completely? Nope, my weapons don't do anything now. And, I think I just needed an arbitrary number to keep in stock, and I looked at one, I'm like, okay, that's what I'm going to keep as my minimum now. And now I'm fine, but...
Oh, really? You keep a minimum?
Well, 150.
I spend it as soon as I get it. So.
Well, I don't, because what if I find a store? I wonder if it has sweet cloaking.
Yeah, I've had that happen many times.
I feel like usually store upgrades are better than the upgrades you can just get. Although there are times where I'm like, okay, I need more shields now.
Oh, man, I found a Vulcan just floating in space once. After you fire it, I think, 5 or 7 times, it fires once every second and a half. Which, a standard charge laser takes 11 seconds to charge. Holy crap, that's so good. It defeated the final boss. No problem.
See, when I was on the final form of the final boss, I had a regular laser, a heavy laser, a burst heavy laser, and a Pegasus missile launcher.
Oh, there's your problem. Heavy lasers suck.
Do they?
Yeah, +1 to hit.
Heavy lasers are okay, but only if you can get their shields down. Otherwise, they're parallel with ion cannons. But if that's what
I should have gotten an ion cannon on there. I was doing the second layout of the first ship. You got the one that starts with 4 normal lasers.
Which is honestly a little overpowered. But...
Yeah, but so I'm like, oh, a heavy laser. It uses the same power and uses twice as much damage. That's a clear upgrade.
It is. That is very true.
I need a way to get through shields, so missile launcher.
Yep. No, the missile is definitely a good choice with that layout, but... I don't really like heavy lasers or hull lasers that much, just because...
What weapons do you tend to go for?
Actually, I've been recently, only just recently, been valuing drone and burst lasers as a combo a lot. Mostly drones for defense against missiles, and then burst lasers just enough to get through shields. But,
so what's the thing that actually does the damage?
The burst lasers, essentially. Okay. I have enough to go through their shields +1 and hope I get lucky and hit. Usually I also have combat drone... Although my favorite ship is actually the Mantis Cruiser, which basically just starts with a Mantis boarding party, and that's how you win. So
I kind of do want to try boarding, but lately I just got it before I came. I've been going for the get one of every race achievement, and so I don't want to send my guys over to the enemy ship
where they may
die.
I've also lost my crew on the enemy ship a lot of the times because it'll be almost exploding.
We've heard.
Yeah, and then I forget to... Yeah. It sucks. Which is why boarding drones help. FTL's a good game. You should buy it. You have an iPad.
I also have probably been undervaluing drones. I only really have used them on the one time I tried the NG Cruiser.
Yeah, me too.
Can you pause that game?
Yeah.
Yeah, you press space to pause, and then it's actually a critical part of the game because you have a lot of, like, weapons that you have to draw very... there are, like, rip lasers that basically go across a number of rooms, and positioning them just right to hit the maximum number of rooms possible takes a little bit of time sometimes, so...
Yeah, that doesn't sound like the kind of thing I was thinking of.
Oh?
Getting something like that and then just basically playing in between games of League while I waited for it to load.
Yeah, no, you can totally do that. I find that if I don't play a game of FTL all the way through and I come back to it, I just start over again rather than, like, trying to continue the one I left off.
Yeah, it's probably a little more investment than what he's describing.
Yeah, probably. Like, a full game of FTL takes me about an hour. But, and, like, individual combat encounters are, like, 2 to 5 minutes.
That's kind of on the long side. Like, yeah. Towards the end of the game, when you're getting, you know, to the difficult ships,
that is
two
true.
To 5 minutes makes sense. But early on, I can usually beat one in under a minute. Because it's just like lasers, shoot the shields,
that is
shoot
true.
The weapons. Okay, they can't hurt me now. Slowly shoot their oxygen and watch them suffocate.
I very rarely use that. I mostly go for outright destruction.
Yeah, so do I, honestly. But in theory, they could suffocate.
They could.
I had one time where I was using fire bombs and was just lighting their whole ship on fire.
Now, I think my biggest problem with my playstyle is I never know when to... Or I never jump when I should. I should... Like, when you should just abandon a fight, I never abandon fights. And that's probably a bad decision, but...
Well, it's... You don't get anything out of that, and you're timed, so...
Although,
sort of.
Your lack of loss of resources might be considered a benefit. Like, you should know when to cut and run, which is rarely, but...
Better part of valor.
Yeah, I never do it when I should.
When you can't burst through their shields... Or any time the rebels catch you.
Or when you're at the ion pulse things and it keeps disabling your weapons and your shields simultaneously, and you're like, well, see you guys later, I'm leaving.
So what have you been playing besides FTL?
Oh, besides FTL? Oh, wow. No, actually, I have been playing stuff besides FTL. I played a little bit more of Super Mario World. I'm through, like, the fourth world. Yay. So that's, like, a half hour.
Yeah.
I've been playing a lot of Okami recently, actually, and I'm... Almost done with that game. It is
forever. You're perpetually almost done.
You
said that 4 times again.
Oh god, it has such bad pacing. I don't know when this game is. I think I'm almost at
the answer is never. You are never done with Okami. You will always continue to go.
It's really good value.
Yep. That's a. No, I just got to a point where there's like a spaceship that was full of gods that crash onto the planet, and it's.
This seems out of context.
This is part of ancient Japanese lore.
Yeah. There are
That's
lots of
really
gods
weird.
In ancient Japanese lore, like most lores.
They call it the Ark of Yamato. It's like an actual thing.
Oh, are you fighting
Does it
Izanagi?
Have a canon?
It might. I don't know.
Are you fighting Amaterasu?
I am Amaterasu.
Oh, yeah, you are, huh? Are you fighting Izanagi? And...
No, well, I already did.
Oh, okay.
So. And Orochi. Orochi's super dead. I've killed him like 3 times now.
My knowledge of ancient Japanese gods is fading. There's one more one.
That one guy?
Yeah, him.
The Ninetales Fox, that's a big thing. I guess it's only called Kyuubi in Naruto. But...
Oh, that's literally Ninetales.
That might be what they just called it. I don't know. It's basically like all the different parts of Japan were separated, and they all had myths, and some guy was like, what if these were all the same myth? And so you're basically playing like 5 stories that really have no interconnection with each other other than the same character appeared in all of them. So it's the pacing's really weird. But I'm like 40 hours into that game. The thing that got me recently, though, is like a couple nights ago, I think it was Tuesday, I dyed my hair. So I was waiting for the dye to set in, so I was playing Okami, and I found there were like towards the end of the game to get like a special item, you had like 99 stray beads. And one of the three of
not
them.
Not 108?
Not 108, no.
That seems wrong.
Well, this is it had nothing to do with that particular story. What is that even called? Something in the West? Maybe? Okay.
Journey to the West?
No. This is
the
Buddhist thing.
That's the only to the West I know.
Also, that's Chinese.
No, this is a Chinese...
Chinese, Japanese.
I thought the 108 was a...
They're totally different.
Oh, God.
It's for prayer beads in
oh, really?
Buddhism, yeah.
Oh, I did not know that. There was a Chinese myth, or a really old story that was super popular that everything is based off of, where, like, gods split into 108 pieces. They made a game series off of it that's terrible because it has 108 characters to go and collect.
Dynasty Warriors doesn't have that many characters.
That's getting there.
But
they announced Dynasty Warriors Gundam Reborn.
Yes!
Totes
excited. Unfortunately, I can't get it.
It's PS3 exclusive.
Ah, lame sauce. Although you have a PS3 now, so...
I may have to buy one just for that game.
Anyway, there's like... One of the things that you have to do is you beat a boss. Yay. And then you have to go through 10 gates, and the gates are basically souped up encounters of enemies that you fought before, and they last way too long, they've drained all your resources, but in the end you get one of those 99 stray beads. I was playing one where a single fight was basically the two of the bosses that I fought before cloned twice. So I had to fight two at a time, and a total of four of them.
Kagebashi no Jutsu?
Yes. And, oh man, it lasted forever. And then that was the ninth gate, I think. No, that was the seventh gate. The ninth gate is three of them, except they fight together instead of, like, two of the same guy, and then two
so
of the other
Dark
guy.
So how's Dark Souls?
It was an hour and a half that it took me to get there. And then I got to the last guy, and I'm like, oh man, this is impossible. And I look up a guide, and it's like, this is a really easy boss, until you fight him in this one form. I'm like, god damn it. So, yeah, no, it was horrible. It was basically an hour and a half boss rush where they ran out of ideas and just copy and pasted the same enemy multiple times.
Tyler, you saw me play Record of Agorist 4. You saw the hour and a half fight that ended in complete and total failure.
Yeah, that is true.
After one move.
Yeah, no, this is roughly similar. I got all the way to the end, and then three of the same guy all threw knives at me once, and I died in one hit. It was terrible.
To be fair, I would probably die if three guys threw knives at me.
What if you were a wolf god?
Or shadow cat?
Wolf goddess. That's another thing, is that they refer to Amaterasu as goddess of everything, but you clearly inhabit the body of a male wolf. So, what?
Experimental.
Yeah.
We need more transgender heroes, Tyler. Don't bag on them.
Transgender trans species heroes.
It's an underserved market.
With bug-shaped sidekicks. It's a pretty niche market,
Apparently,
I think.
Apparently Amaterasu is still in college. She's experimenting.
With other bodies.
She's a god. She can do whatever she wants.
There's also a timey-wimey bit where you go back in time to help yourself defeat an enemy, and then you go forward in time and yourself comes back through the time portal with you to help yourself defeat a future enemy, and then your past self almost dies helping your future self, and then you go back in time, and that's actually how you were, like, almost killed in the past, is by going to the future. Like,
what?
Yeah.
Time travel is fun!
So, the entire game is like you're reliving an old legend. And in the old legend, you almost die, but the reason you almost die, according to this game, is that you actually went to the future to help your future self fight different enemies, and the different enemies almost kill your past self, and then your past self has to go back in time to, like, close the loop, I guess? I don't even know.
Train in the hyperbolic time chamber.
Yes. Oh, also, your past self is, like, infinitely stronger than your future self, because you almost died. So you were excellent, and then you
also
got stabbed.
Also, you're Saiyan.
Yes. No, you're a reverse Saiyan. You get weaker in the future by almost dying.
Yeah, Saiyans, they almost die and then they go Super Saiyan and they're like, I'm more powerful.
It looks like someone has some required reading to do. It was an episode of Dragon Ball Z Abridged where he's like talking to, I think Zarbon, and he like hands Zarbon a pamphlet and he's like, gets stronger almost every time they... That's so unfair.
Anyway, anything else?
Yeah, no, it was pretty much Okami. I was just complaining about boss rushes. But you know what game is almost a boss rush?
Not Kirby. Despite your assertions, I've never had a Kirby boss rush.
Really? Ever?
Yeah, I can't think of one. There's not one in Crystal Shards, I don't think.
I feel like the levels are so... Yeah, there totally is in Crystal Shards. I feel like the levels are so trivially easy that you're basically just, like, getting ready to go fight the boss. And
that is true. The game is ridiculously boring, like Kirby's Adventure. Because it's so damn easy.
Most of the newer Kirby's actually just have built-in boss rush mode, because the bosses are the interesting part of the game.
So, Kirby's Dream Land 2, the sequel to Kirby's Dream Land, a game we didn't play because Tyler's insufficiently OCD.
Well, yeah, but
despite his claims to the contrary.
You can't consume your enemies to gain their powers in the first one. It doesn't count.
You can
count.
Consume your enemies and gain the power to shoot stars at your other enemies.
That is true.
That's a pretty good power.
Yeah.
So Kirby is a black hole generator.
That then shoots stars back out?
Yes.
Well, totally. The black holes have the expel thing as well.
In this one, you
I used to know what that was called. So
well, there's an event horizon, but that's not necessarily expulsion.
I thought they had
emit X-ray radiation.
Close enough. I'm right. For reasons I have declared it.
Yay, Zach. Yeah, so what were we talking about? Kirby. You can in this one, you can eat your enemies to get their powers, but only six of your enemies.
Which is, it seems, and they introduce all six powers in like three levels, which is...
And there are no new ones from Kirby's Adventure, and Paracel makes the cut when they're cutting down to six.
Not Sword, but Paracel.
What are the six? It's Paracel, Rock, Fire, Ice, Electricity, and Cutter?
Yep.
Yep.
I could have sworn there were more than that, but you're right. There's a lot of enemies, almost none of which give you
the
powers.
The thing that they added to this game that makes it seem like there are more abilities are animal companions.
That you usually get for freeing them from mini-bosses in sacks. Can I just say, the fact that the sack has a hitbox is bull...
You can run into it.
I've played this game three times. I only notice it on this playthrough. I don't know how I never noticed it before, but that's annoying as hell.
Also, they took out your cool slide kick.
Oh, did that exist before?
It was in Kirby's Adventure.
Okay, I tried to do that in, like, the first level. I'm like, oh, I can't slide kick. That's sad. I wish Mega Man could slide kick.
Anyway, in addition to your six powers...
Mega Man's not a...
Eldritch Abomination.
You
might be.
Starting in Mega Man 3, you can slide kick.
Oh, wait, you can slide. It doesn't actually do damage.
Oh, okay.
Though.
Anyway, you have three animal companions. Ricky the Hamster.
Are they named?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind the fish that you ride inside of.
Hey, I was starting with Ricky. Ricky is a terrible hamster companion. He makes it so you don't slip on ice, which there's almost none of, and so you can't fly.
In later games, so you can't fly.
Which makes it very hard in the game, but pits you fly over. Trivially.
I kept forgetting that you could fly.
In later games, he both jumps higher and has like a triple jump, so they obviously realize at some point that he was underpowered, but not in this game.
Also, if you have the lightning power with him, you get the beam power from Kirby's Adventure.
Which is actually pretty useful.
Yeah, I never actually got that particular combination on this playthrough. Spike is so bad with it. He shoots Spike, or he goes spiky on his back, facing away from the enemy.
Freeze gives you like a freeze shield that's almost useful.
That's actually pretty good.
Fire's just flame breath.
Paracel is really useful in specific situations, mostly when you're ascending, rather than going forward, which is a minority of screens.
But Ricky is pretty much worse than regular Kirby. Except for that when you get an animal companion, you get full health, and you have that companion until you lose your health, where you respawn as regular Kirby.
You can't switch out your companion. Well, actually, never mind.
You can hit select, but you like, can lose power.
But yeah, you lose your power up, though, so...
Or you can get a new animal companion if you find another one. And
that's why
them out that way.
That's why I backpedaled, because you can totally just step on the new animal companion and it switches. So.
Kind the Fish, who is terrible on land, can't move or fly.
He can move.
He can jump remarkably well.
But is the best in water.
Except when you have the fire power, which is good on land, but underwater it just goes...
Well, he's also... If you have him, you can actually inhale enemies underwater. The other two, you blow bubbles.
Yeah, which sucks.
Although, Kaina has arguably one of the best powers, which is combined with lightning.
Yeah, the light bulb of death.
That is invincible in front of you, and also you can fire it into a bomb.
Also, the cutter is like sonar waves.
That's also pretty good. It moves a little slow for my days.
The spines are pretty bad.
I don't remember what spine Kaina is.
It just makes him into a puffer fish.
Rock basically is hilarious. He turns into Kirby turns into a rock inside of Kaina. Kaina's like, obviously has a distended stomach from a rock Kirby inside of it, which is pretty funny, but...
And then, by far the most useful, Koo the Owl, who gives you slightly better flying than normal.
And almost all of his abilities are awesome.
Yeah, his lightning is death lasers from above. Spikes as Kirby turns into spikes and spikes people below him.
Paracel, you turn into a whirling tornado of death.
A cutter, you shoot three boomerangs out.
In, like, kind of a triangle conical pattern.
Fire, you just basically...
Yeah, fire's kind of lame.
Somebody.
You're still invincible because you just keep hitting the fire button.
That is true. I feel like I never did ice on this run. I can't remember what it does.
Yeah, I don't remember Ice Koo.
I think you can.
Ice Koo.
It's just a blowing of ice, and you move it around. You can move it around.
Oh yeah, that's right.
It's not terribly useful.
No, especially given Kirby's normal abilities, because Kirby's already some sort of horrible monster.
Anyway,
he's just really adorable.
He is.
Even combined with the animals, though, there aren't nearly as many cool powers as Kirby's Adventure. Which
18.
Had sword power. Did you look up? How many there are?
No, they're just... There are
24,
six...
because Kirby has powers normally, too.
I math.
I think they're like 21 in Kirby's Adventure.
But they're so varied that it... Well, they're more varied, so it makes it feel like there are more.
And you have things like the ninja stars and the, like, sumo throws and all these ones that are sort of unique. And the hammer.
Yep.
And the mic.
In this game, I don't know, the power-ups feel kind of...
Lame?
Yeah. One of the biggest... I guess, draws of this game is in order to get the super special awesome ending boss fight out of nowhere, you have to, like, find specific portions of the level where you need a very specific ability to break through a very specific barrier to get, like, star candy? I don't even know what they're supposed to be, but...
It's cool for replayability, and this is a Game Boy game that has save files, so that's pretty cool. And
that
so adding
true.
Replayability is cool, but other than that, it's not great. I mean, it's secret entrances, and that's cool, but they're not very well designed.
I mean, the hardest...
I didn't even know they existed.
The hardest ones to find are you need kind and the lightning power, and when you go into a dark room, you shoot a light bulb out, and it illuminates a hidden door for you. You can go through the door without the power, so if you know where it is, you can just go there, but...
There are, I think, one on each world.
Yeah.
7 worlds in the game. They start out with 3 stages, I think, and get progressively more.
Yeah, up to 6, I think, at one point.
Lots of repeat bosses. DDD is the same as Kirby's Adventure. It starts with the Wispy Woods guy, although that's tradition, so I give him that.
So, okay.
It's got the star and the moon that suck.
Oh, is that in this game?
Yeah.
Huh. So, one of the things I noticed is that Wispy Woods started wearing, like, nerd glasses and, like, a...
Is that, like, a... Like,
a breath mask
yeah.
thing? Do you know what the hell? Because...
Wispy Wood was sick.
Yeah, that's what Alex said. I'm like, I don't get it. Maybe he was afraid of getting sick.
Maybe
anyway.
He thought Kirby was going to blow germs on him.
Instead of inhale his apple and shoot it back at him.
Why can't you get apple powers?
What would that be?
Delicious, Kirby.
Oh, man. Brawl in the Family did one recently where one of the new abilities is an archer where he can shoot a bow and arrow. And he ate it and became archer from the series.
I think it was very giddy.
I thought it was hilarious. But it gets to the end, and Wispy Wood is dropping apples. He's like, do you want ants? Because that's how you get ants.
So yeah, Kirby's Adventure 2, boring, too easy, lame powers. Overall, not great. The more Kirby games we play, the less I like Kirby.
Maybe the Crystal Shard will change your opinion again.
No.
Crystal Shard is probably the best, but...
Lightsaber Kirby.
We haven't played Superstar yet.
We haven't. Superstar is really good.
I like Superstar. Also, the
is
new one...
Is it Lightsaber Kirby?
Yeah, that's in that one. Also, Kirby's Return to Dreamland is pretty good. I'm actually excited for Triple Deluxe. The Magic Mirrors, there are a lot of, like, weird the ones that aren't the standard platformer formula.
I didn't
play
any of the Advance or DS ones, and the fact that one of them is on the Virtual Console now makes me think I'll check that out, but...
I've heard that one's pretty good. Also, it's 4-player if you have enough people, so...
No.
But... Why not? But I'm demanding that the next Kirby game we play is Kirby's Dreamland.
Oh.
So that'll slow you down from suggesting one for a while.
No, it won't.
Is this Dreamland 2?
Yes.
Yeah. In the original Dreamland, you can't eat enemies to gain their abilities. They didn't add that until Kirby's Adventure.
Also, it's much shorter.
Yeah, also that. Also, the end boss is what the... Oh, yeah, I want to touch on this, because almost every Kirby game has a boss that is another Eldritch Abomination from the depths of space somehow.
Yeah, it's just theming.
Maybe Kirby's actually the bad guy and he's devouring the world.
I've seen
that. That's the plot of the first two games, is that Kirby has done something terrible and King Dedede is just trying to deal with his because he's the king.
Really?
Yeah, yep. That's the plot of Kirby's Adventure, and that's why you fight a giant abomination, because that's what Dedede was trying to stop you from releasing.
Except Kirby thinks that Dedede has done something evil. That, like, normally Dedede steals the MacGuffin, and Kirby's like, no, the people need that MacGuffin, you greedy king, and so he goes and fights Dedede, and Dedede's like, whoa, man, I was trying to stop the Eldritch Space Vampire, which is the boss of this game, who's actually possessing Dedede in this one, so, you know, at least he gets a pass on that. But the boss of this game, if you get the super special secret ending, is an Eldritch Space Vampire that can warp in and out of reality. It's nothing like anything else in this game.
So Kirby's the bad guy.
Yeah. No, Kirby's usually the bad guy. Usually unintentionally. That's actually why Meta Knight wants to fight him, is because Kirby is, like, destroying the landscape and stuff.
To be in Crystal Shards and Return to Dreamland, you're not the bad guy.
That is true.
And DDD is totes cool with you, and he teams up with you.
And some of the... In most of the games in Superstar, you're not the bad guy either, but it is kind of amusing. It's a bit of... Especially since they're so cute. It's mostly following the good job screwing it up here, or good, great job breaking it hero trope.
Yeah, and subverting expectations, because he's so cute and innocent. How could he be bad? So speaking of subverting expectations, Zach, what are we playing next week?
My expectations were subverted.
Huh. Well, I'm not really feeling like thinking right now, so I'm going to go with...
Street Fighter Mortal Kombat 2.
What? DC vs. Mortal Kombat.
That's an awful game.
It's
that I've
so
never played.
Bad. It's worse than a normal Mortal Kombat game. How did they do that?
It's a really good question. That is not a game that exists. I have declared
it's
it non-canon.
It's a game that I own.
Why do you own it?
My brother got it for me. And I was like, this is not a gift. Are we in one of those cultures where you're responsible to give something of equal value and you're trying to liberate me from that duty?
What did I do to make you mad at me?
It contained Batman.
I'm still declaring it non-canon from reality.
It's not part of your headcanon?
No. And my reality is the most important one. But in this reality, I'm going to make these guys play Cruisin' USA with me.
Oh, I kind of forgot that was a game you actually chose. I liked Cruisin' USA. I haven't played it since I was like 12.
I have never played it on a console.
Was this the second N64 game we're playing or the third? Battle 64 is the only other one I can think of, but I feel like there was something else.
Perfect Dark.
Oh yeah, Perfect Dark.
Super Smash Brothers.
Oh, I forgot we did Smash Bros. That's a good game. Okay.
I think I have declared all of them,
but
too.
We haven't done any good N64 games yet. I mean, Smash Bros. Is pretty good, but it doesn't really hold up.
No.
And Perfect Dark is actually.
I've liked all the other ones we've. Yeah, I have liked the other three we've played so far. Well, other than
there aren't
Bros.
Many
really
of
like
them. I went to save them.
Mischief Makers. Is that on the Virtual Console?
No.
Oh. I like that game.
Well, we're going to play Cruisin' USA.
Okay!
This time around.
So, next time on Last Time, Cruisin' USA. This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2014.
All the video games and other media mentioned herein are copyright of their respective owners.
Unfortunately, I don't own Square Enix. You can contact us at ltovg at lasttimeonvideogames.com, or Tyler at lasttimeonvideogames.com,
or Jeremy, G-E-R-E-M-Y, at lasttimeonvideogames.com,
and the best one, Zach, at lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Our primary source of interaction is lasttimeonvideogames.com, where you can find all sorts of written material in addition to the podcast.
If you want to follow us on Google+, plus.google.com/plus Last Time on Video Games.
If you're one of those weird people who uses Twitter, we are at LTOVG.
Quick, press X. Too late. You failed. The podcast is over.
I'm on a highway to polygons.